Are we doing the pyramid at the end of the world?
I believe so. Well, I don't know for sure.
We'll lie now.
And as the music fades, we are back with the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast. John is currently talking to someone at the door and doesn't know we've started. This is going to be either hilarious or royally piss him off, which in its turn will be hilarious. We are back. We're doing Doctor Who. We are watching The Pyramid at the End of the World. And we are joined, as ever, here he is, wondering what's going on. It is the beloved, the lovely, the wonderful, the man who was talking at the door and didn't know we'd started. It's John Carruthers.
Hello.
And in front of him, explaining how binoculars work, is Morgan. And over on the other side is the person who would rather have it be having IBS right now than anything else that's going on, is Laura.
Yay.
How are you, dear? Are you coming to terms with everything? Is everything all right?
I don't know. What's died over the last couple of weeks? The fridge, your fridge, the taps, then there's the kitchen flooded, and then the kitchen flooding has caused a microwave tonight. Yeah, it's great.
Excellent. Well, if things happen in threes, that's four. So
this is you on your second cycle. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Because all things come in threes, including the cycles, I mean, you're going to have five.
I don't think that's fair to wish that on anyone. Anyway, how are we all? Are we all doing well? Have we come to terms with the great sporting tragedy that occurred at the weekend?
We muddled through.
It's not a tragedy.
I know. Novak Djokovic won again.
I know. Unbelievable, wasn't it? I mean, I was partly sort of pleased that he won, but then I remembered he was a super spreading little twat bag who decided to arrange a tournament with no COVID testing and no masks.
And then everyone got it.
I know, it was bizarre how that happened, wasn't it?
And then since then, he's become anti-vax on top of that, despite that.
Oh, for crying out loud. So the guy,
it's incredible.
The guy learnt nothing and then doubled down to learn even less.
Well, I was just going to say, there's a lot of people doubling down right now, isn't there? But everyone got it to me. There's people that kind of go, no, you shouldn't have done that. I went, do you know what? I'm going to follow that up with something even worse.
Look, I do have some news to announce. I have just been booked on the support for the Andrew Lawrence tour, and I can't wait because it's going to be amazing. Those tickets are going to sell like hotcakes. As long as he doesn't do anything stupid and get it cancelled, we're all good. Anyway, apparently he's taking his Facebook page down as well now.
Has he?
Someone has, because I went looking for it to see if anyone had laughed hilariously at either one of my witty put downs, and it disappeared. I couldn't work out initially whether he blocked me again, because his personal page, he blocked me a couple of years back.
It was on the back of you wondering if he blocked you, that I went to check and discovered that no.
That is literally, that is the very, very epitome of do your own research.
Actually, I think you'll find that Andrew Lawrence's page is up, as long as we're talking about the official page of Great Britain basketball player Andrew Lawrence.
Well, I mean, he, as far as I know, at this point in time, has not made any racist comments about the European Championships. So he's fine. We could all follow him, safe in the knowledge.
I'm just scared to follow anybody new now, just in case.
I mean, the only thing that surprises me about that particular comedian is that anyone was surprised that he did it.
Well, as was rightly said, I think you shared a post in regards to this, with the fact that anybody that knows him knows that, you know, it was just one of these things, and the mock outrage from people whose names we won't mention.
All this is it. I mean,
I'm still friends with them on Facebook.
Well, I mean, there was several clubs, including one who I'm pretty sure we're all friends with, the guy who runs it, who announced that they were never going to book him again off the back of this and blah, blah, blah. And then someone in one of the comedy forums did rightly point out that, why were you booking him in the first place? I don't think it was an unreasonable question, because this hasn't come out of the blue. You know, he did go down this road a while back. But anyway, we're not going to give him the oxygen of publicity other than the point and laugh, because he's turned into a twat. Right, so when last we chatted, we were watching, I'm going to say, Extremis.
It was Oxygen.
Oh, was it Oxygen?
It was Oxygen, then it's...
So now we're on to the Pyramid at the End of the World.
Pyramids, the best of the three.
Because it's, I think you said this before, this is a kind of trilogy?
It is a trilogy, it's the Monk trilogy.
Yeah.
It's a literal trilogy.
So it's a sort of trilogy.
It's a literal trilogy. You could almost say it's a quadrilogy, but it's like...
You could add
Oxygen.
Oxygen's like a prologue because it puts the doctor in the state that he's in.
Ah, right, okay.
But it doesn't really tie into the Monk, so yeah, it's the Monk trilogy. So yeah, we're halfway through the trilogy.
Oh, I see. So,
we'll be in 20 minutes.
So... So the one after this.
30 minutes.
The one after this is the end of the trilogy.
That's how trilogies work. Yes.
Well, yeah, but you say that. I'm currently in the middle of a massive Star Wars watchathon, and trilogies do not work like that.
Well, if in 20 years Stephen Moffat's gone back and created a prequel to the Monk trilogy,
matter of time, he's going to do it. He will totally. There'll be another 3 episodes which fit in all the things you didn't know before about the backstory of the Monks.
Well, he did CGI Clara into previous footage, and you could argue that Clara is the Jar Jar Binks of the Doctor.
Even I wouldn't sink that low.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm here. I say the controversial stuff, so you don't have to.
I mean,
cultural appropriation. I'm trying to think of that.
I mean, Clara annoys, but she does not annoy to the Jar Jar Binks levels.
I still love the theory that Jar Jar Binks was a secret Sith.
Well, I mean, I was watching. I don't know how well you remember The Phantom Menace. And I'm going to bring some of this briefly, but I've got an idea of what we're going to do next, so I'm not going to go too much into it. But the battle scene at the end, which is basically has the same level of graphics as Star Wars Battlefront.
Mm-hmm.
Which you kind of don't, you expect something slightly better on a big cinema screen. And he becomes the comic effect in a battle where he's running around and falling over stuff and accidentally killing people. It's like Norman Wisdom in a World War II movie. And there's a reason
it's
why
so
they never.
It may just work.
Well, yeah, unfortunately it doesn't. And it's just utterly, utterly horrendous. But anyway. We'll come back to all that. So, right, so this is a literal, the middle of the literal trilogy, and I'll remind me what happened last time because I've slept since then.
Laura, go for it.
Sorry, what happened in what?
In the last episode was the first part of the Monk trilogy.
I believe it was.
It was the first part of the Monk trilogy, which involved CERN.
CERN and virtual reality and monks committing suicide.
Yeah.
That was it.
Not monks committing suicide. Priests.
Priests.
Yes, that was it.
And Space Pope.
Blind doctor in a room with a book.
Bill getting cock-blocked. Not cock-blocked at all. What have I been saying?
That definitely wasn't happening, was it?
Yeah, no. I'm certainly at a loss for the equivalent of...
Is fanny blocked a thing?
I believe so.
Oh, apparently, behind you, it's an Agatha Christie character from the 1930s.
Right, off you go. You're Mary Poppins.
Oh, right. I thought she'd misunderstood the pyramids thing and was about to appear in Murder on the Nile.
Can you guys just get a snap out of this? But I have to put up with this shit 24 hours a day.
The mystery of why you drink continues.
I know, absolutely.
Right. Shall we then dive in and watch a trilogy, you say? So this is a sort of trilogy? Is that where we're going with this? The Pyramid at the End of Waters of...
trilogy.
The Pyramids at the End of the Waters of Mars, whatever it's called. Are we sitting comfortably?
Yes, let's do it.
Has Morgan decided to... Oh, she's going to keep the hat on.
You can't keep the hat on and wear these.
Put the hat over yours.
Ah, yeah, you didn't think of that one, did you, Unicorn Boy? Eh? No.
I smarted you.
Out of interest, you know when you adopt children, do you get receipts? Can you take them back?
No, yeah, I think it's the same as standard receipts where if you've got 28 days.
Yeah, you see, that's not long enough, is it? Because after 28 days, you still think they're cute.
Absolutely.
You probably still have a tip.
I could probably dump her somewhere.
Do you know what? Arthur's Seat, apparently, I was reading a thing last week. A lot of people gather there in the evenings for outdoor activities. Leave her there. Someone will find her and take her home.
I'm just not concerned about what those outdoor activities are, to be fair.
Well, I won't say what they are, because you then might have to explain them to your daughter. And that's not a conversation you want to be having anytime soon.
I feel like Mary Poppins here.
Yeah, look like a moron.
That's kind of, yeah, Mary Poppins as a moron.
Moron is like an anagram of Mary Poppins, the way you spell it, you moron. Right, let's go.
Mary Poppins autism.
On the subject of trilogies.
Mark, don't.
On the subject of trilogies, I now like the idea of Morgan appearing as Mary Poppins in the prequel. Morgan is giving us Mary Poppins the backstory.
As long as she goes on a killing spree.
Oh, she has to. Bag that big, she could put all the bodies in it. No need for a patio there. Anyway, right. This took a darker turn than planned. Shall we have a spirited crack at actually talking over this wonderful episode? Are we ready?
Let's do it.
Laura's not saying anything. Laura's reading and ignoring me. You do research.
Who's reading and ignoring you?
You.
I'm trying to see if there's any trivia for this episode. I was trying to do what I try to do.
Well, can you try and multitask and just let me know you're listening to another press?
Yeah, no, it's good.
Right, dear listener, now we've all sorted out our heads and know what we're doing. As ever, when we press play, you press play, and we will talk you through in our directionless commentary style, because I don't often mention that's what it's called, and we talk through pyramids and whatever else it's called. And so off we go in 3, 2, 1, and play. He looks a bit like Tim Curry. Did I mention that last time?
I think we might have mentioned that last time.
Excellent. Well, it's the recap, so it's good to cover
sorry,
the same
old. You mentioned it last time. Sorry, I wasn't thinking.
Tim Curry plays Cardinal Richelieu.
He does. That's actually a really good film. Well, loosely.
Yeah, it's hard as a pun, though.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Oh, look, there she goes, being all gay again. God,
I stopped watching Doctor Who because Bill mentioned being gay 50 times.
In the first episode, really?
In one episode.
That was one of the best responses to that thread I think I've ever seen. The fact that she mentions it 50 times in episodes. Like, even if you average it out over the entire series, it doesn't come to that, because there are episodes it doesn't get mentioned once.
If Stephen Moffat was still the showrunner and Bill was still a companion, I like to think they've seen that comment and actually written an episode called Bill's Gay Agenda. and the climax of the story, after Bill mentioned being gay constantly, the climax of the story is the Doctor says, the only way we can save the universe is by you being gay. And then she...
I'm on board with this. This is already a story I want to watch. I mean, I just thought some of the answers to that was just utterly ridiculous. And I wouldn't even say closet homophobia. It was people who are homophobic and don't know they are, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So they don't consider themselves to be. They just knew they were offended by a thing but didn't really understand why.
Yep. It's because of this whole kind of concept that, like, they think Doctor Who's too PC and too woke. And you're never going to, and it always amazes me because traditionally, when growing up, I always thought that Doctor Who attracted a certain type of crowd of people that were maybe on the fringes and on the periphery, and maybe thought, you know, they didn't necessarily quite fit in. I'm talking personally probably about myself.
I fit that.
And you were thinking that you had this kind of go, no, just embrace who you are and what you love, and the hope that there's somebody standing up and kind of looking out for you and blah blah blah, and there's all these evil bastards that are trying to that was always kind of where I came from. It's kind of going, because it's a very attractive premise to somebody that might feel kind of, you know, that there's pretty shitty people out there gunning for you.
Yeah.
And then as I grew up and discovered that all these people that I thought were kind of part of this kind of collective mindset just suddenly kind of go, oh yeah, we really like the show, but they do really fucking harp on about the gays and the blacks a bit, don't they?
Well, this is it, isn't it? I mean, I got taken in as a kid because of the fantastical stories, and I've only realised later in life how much I love sci-fi.
Yeah.
And I love the other worlds you create and the different places you can go and the fact that the whole universe is your playground. And that's what drew me in. And then I discovered I knew people who liked the same show as me. And that's when I started making friends.
Yeah.
And I was probably 12, 13, 14 around that time. And then I kind of fell away from it a bit and I came back and then you discover this community. We found each other and we're all bonded by this thing.
Yeah.
And then you find there's another group of people who are bonded by the thing because they hate it.
Yes, no, absolutely, yeah.
And they hate things specifically about it. I mean, no show is perfect. Nothing is good forever. Friends went down the toilet. Frasier went down the toilet. Midsummer Murders went really down the toilet at one point. And if you like the characters and the premise, surely you ride over that because like any relationship, it's going to have ups and downs.
Yeah. People seem to specifically revel in their hatred of it. Now.
Yeah.
Revel. I don't know what I'm saying anyway. I don't even know.
Rebels? English, have a coffee one.
Scottish. But, it does seem that people just want to go. As soon as you see a post on like the Doctor Who Facebook page or something, kind of going, oh, so what's your favourite Doctor Who episode from season 13? Yeah. Season 12? And then they just jump right on and go, none of them, because it's shit. And yep. I hate it. And it's a woman now, and Jimbo can't write, and there's a black guy in it.
Well, this is the other thing. That whole woke PC Chibnall's agenda crap. I wonder how many people were paying attention to this series, the one we're watching now. Because I went back to watch, I was going to call it Frozen, but that's a different thing. The one with the monster
into
under
the ice.
Into the ice, yeah.
Into the ice?
Under the ice, over the ice.
Under the ice, can't remember.
Yeah.
Into the unknown. No, into the thing.
Frozen Thames.
Under the...
Yeah, Frozen Thames in Victorian London, that one. And he gives that beautiful speech about what makes you human. About is your humanity is not defined by money, but by what you do to someone else and something else. And that animal being trapped under the ice is a cruel thing. And do you want to be that cruel person or do you want to be a better person? And that's really quite woke. But, yeah. No one seems to care about that. No one's ever had a problem with Capaldi on his very, very left-wing, be nice to other people, you arseholes, agenda. Yet when a woman says it, suddenly it's, oh, Chibnall's agenda, and oh, they're all woke. Fuck off.
I noticed they stopped putting makeup on Capaldi's eyes to stimulate blindness, by the way.
Well, they just poke his eyes out. He's such a method actor.
He is. Daniel Day-Lewis can go take a fuck to himself. Yeah, I know, but that's only if he's got a role coming up of someone that takes a fuck to themselves. And he'd probably be there for 3 or 4 years doing it beforehand.
3 or 4 years taking a fuck to himself. Well, I just realised that might be a very Scottish phrase.
Beautiful. It is. It's delightful.
It felt weird copying it, if I'm honest.
Yeah. It's almost like trying to speak French to a French person, isn't it? You know you're getting it slightly wrong and you feel awkward.
you did a very good job of it, Laura. I was very
impressed. Thank you. Am I Scottish now? Can I move?
yes, you absolutely can. You would be more than welcome.
I'm already packing my bags. I've had enough down here. We're all a bunch of tossers and arseholes and I've had enough. I'm trying not to get annoyed at the world again, but it's really hard at the moment. Why do they keep putting Capaldi on a plane?
I'm not doing it.
Capaldi on a motherfucker. What?
No, not doing it.
Oh, come on. I'm about to basically sort of say I haven't been playing. There's a reason for this and I'm missing it. Because she's central to all this because she broke her glasses and it's all kind of butterfly wings thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, look at that. It's almost like I was vaguely paying attention.
Although it's more to do with the fact that he's hungover.
That's true.
Yeah.
I like him as an actor, though.
He looks hungover as well. Which is great. That's method.
He was on a session for weeks.
Yep. He started at midday outside Wembley. Shoved a flare up his arse.
There was some sights to behold on Sunday if you were on social media, on Twitter specifically.
Yeah. I mean, I get that you want to get carried away. I get it's been a stressful time and you're kind of euphoric about the upcoming event. At what point during any party / euphoria / drunken escapade is a large smoke flare shoved up your hole a good idea? I've done some remarkably stupid stuff when drunk. I won't lie. The amount varies, because I never quite remember. I think we blew between 20 and 30 quid in a nightclub one night each, me and my mate. And the nightclub charged 50p a pint and 50p a shot.
Okay, I'm glad that you put that at the end, because at the moment I wonder where you're going with that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we spent between 20 and 30 pounds in a nightclub.
I know. Well, if that was today, that'd be going in.
Yeah.
But this was back in the 90s on a Monday night in a club called Arabella's in Preston, where it was 50p a pint, 50p a shot, and I still don't know how we got home. And I do remember smuggling glasses out of there just so we could do the Russian shop thing of necking vodka and smashing it against the wall. And that was the most sane thing that happened in the ensuing hour and a half. And I still didn't feel I needed to grab a flare, drop my trousers, and park it where the sun don't shine.
I've got a question for you about it, though.
About the flare?
Do you know if you ever did get home? Maybe your entire life up to this point, including all this kind of podcasting, is like some sort of dying, the dying seconds of your life, some sort of dream where you've fallen off a bridge or something.
Oh, do you know, if that is
with
the case...
With a flare up your arse. And little things like seeing all this kind of mental stuff happening on Twitter as your brain trying to explain to you what's happening.
It turns out the flare blew up. And in the dying seconds...
You are Sam Tyler, and this is like life on arse.
Yes! Well done.
Now I'm going to get another drink.
Oh, can you get me a cup of tea?
I think you just earned it.
Can you give me a cup of tea when you go in there?
Thanks, Morgan.
Can't believe the BBC just threw away so much of a budget building an entire pyramid.
Headphones
will work. It does kind of explain why the license fee went up.
Headphones
will work. Oh, see? Binoculars. Morgan was ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you know, I've seen the arrows. If these headphones work, I'll be a lot more relaxed.
Do you want to say, if you were cold calling and you had your little charity box in your hand and that answered the door, you'd shit yourself, wouldn't you? You suddenly wouldn't feel inclined to sell raffle tickets.
Are you talking to me?
I'm just moaning generally.
Can I smell it?
You can smell it.
Can I cross it?
No.
Oh. Smells like raisins.
Smells like raisins? I just found a half-open bottle of brandy that I think's been there for about 6 years, so let's find out what happens.
Hopefully it should be nothing.
It's nice knowing you.
My father reminded me the other day, he once bought me a bottle of absinthe, and he accused me of being a coward for not drinking it. I pointed out that A, I'm not an idiot, and B, when I finally decided to possibly feel brave enough to try it, it had somehow evaporated out of the bottle. And it's gone.
I'm constantly telling Tanya that bottles of spirits we have must have evaporated.
They do that a lot, don't they?
Yeah.
I think that one I've put in the freezer, it appears to be leaking.
Does it taste good?
It does taste quite nice.
My mate, the same one who joined me in the nightclub escapade, and he's currently screaming at my flared corpse. he returned from a week's holiday in the West Country with a little plastic thing of proper scrumpy for me. Now, I'm not a cider drinker. I can't stand the stuff. But it was a nice thought, so I just put it, living at my mum's, I just put it under the stairs and forgot all about it. And then about 2-3 years later, we were having a bit of a clear out, and we found it, and it was empty. It had actually eaten its way through the plastic and just evaporated to the point. You'd expect it maybe like if it had leaked to be sticky in the carpet and stuff. Carpet was dry. The whole thing had just gone into the ether.
Good God. Wow. That's...
I mean, but, yeah, and people willingly consume that shit.
I've also willingly consumed absinthe and I liked it.
Yeah, I'm not touching that. I know it makes the heart grow fonder, but I'm still not that keen. Get in! That is the podcast joke. We can now relax.
We can now actually watch the episode.
I've got a question.
Oh, God. No, we can't.
That's quite an interesting... I know there's pyramids and all the rest of it, but there's also quite an interesting little sort of callbacky thing to old classic Doctor Who. And the thing that took away from the Five Doctors. That was that shape, wasn't it?
Oh, the kind of time scoop thing.
Yeah.
How does he survive that when that happens to an Ood in an earlier series? It gets dissipated amongst the... in fact, in the Doctor's wife. It gets dissipated amongst the... in the TARDIS. You're breathing it, I think, is the term.
Yes. Well, he
was... Is that not purposely designed to... To kill the Ood?
Don't think so. Doctor wouldn't go out of his way to kill an Ood.
Yes, he
would. He hated the Ood. He was Oodist.
About that time he went to the Oodist colony.
Yay!
Anyway, Morgan, you had a question.
Okay, so...
Oh, God. She paused.
Oh, God.
Okay, right, here we go.
So, you know how we're allowed to go to England again?
Yeah.
We should... Go up to England.
To England?
Yeah, when the podcast is happening. And then we meet them, and then we do the podcast together.
We have discussed that.
I like it. It's now Morgan's idea, so it's a better idea. Slightly concerned as how long it's going to take her to find us, given that she's heading north to England.
Yeah, heading up to England.
Yeah.
When you hit the sea, you're nearly there.
Yeah, when you hit the... When you
welcome to Iceland.
When you get... They'd be shut on Thursdays, wouldn't they? When you get to Greenland, turn left.
So when we go to England, we do it twice a week.
The question,
the
bigger question.
We can't move down to England and just live in England and do the podcast twice a week.
Leave the country twice a week. That's so fun.
No, what? No, I think it's supposed to be like a special occasion, one-off type thing where we all meet up and do it. We're not going to start something like kind of going. Anyway, that's 3 o'clock. We need to drive down to England.
No, that would be unfair. I think we could all take it in turns.
Whereabouts in England do you live?
We don't live in the same place for a start. Well,
this is the other question I was going to ask, is who do you want to drive up to see, following your geographical logic?
Get out of my ear.
Because you've got... Laura and I live on kind of technically opposite sides of the country.
Kind of technically.
Yeah, almost in a line.
Oops, I thought you were about 10 minutes away from each other.
I live kind of centre left and Khan lives on the far right, so
we know Khan's in the far right.
Yeah.
Some of his tweets.
That's why I had to move here. It's a new rule. You have to geographically live where you're politically aligned.
You don't Snowflakes. Even know where you are right now, so what does it matter? Anyway,
I think
we'll work it out offline.
I don't know, it's marginally more interesting than what's going on.
Okay. Thanks.
Ooh. That's quite an impressive lightsaber.
Oh, God, much of it fell.
That's a compound generator.
It would cut the TARDIS in half.
It's cut in half of them. Why? Why do you have half of them turned into Chris Marshall?
Yeah, but...
Wait, other quarter. How's your mask class going?
Can we just clarify? Are we getting a top half Marshall/Whittaker and a bottom half Marshall/Whittaker or down the middle? So literally the half the head is ginger.
Down the middle. And you're not getting half of them. Both halves regenerate into doctors.
Oh, I see.
It's the only way the fans would be happy.
So we get...
Some people kind of going, Chris Marshall's not the real doctor. And other people go, Johnny Whittaker's not the real doctor.
So we have 13 and 14.
You guys just spill your boots.
I'm sorry. That just makes me laugh when I see that.
What's that?
Just the monks piloting the plane.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I think that's awesome.
How is he there? Why is he not on the plane?
It's an airplane mode.
Hey, fair enough.
And it lands. Relatively
now,
safe.
To be fair, they did a better job there than the Doctor did landing the time-travelling coach outside the holiday camp in Delta and the Bannerman.
Back to season 24.
Didn't take long. That's still fresh enough in my mind I can make references.
Can't believe we already get 2/3 of McCoy's entire era out on Blu-ray.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
All they've got to do is produce one more Colin Baker thing and his entire run will be out on Blu-ray.
With the exception of the Twin Dilemma.
Is that not on Davison's? Already out on Davison's final? Oh no, Davison has only got one box, hasn't he?
Yeah, Davison's only got one box.
As it were. Why is Sarah Submarine? I'm probably missing something. Why is there a submarine sticking upside down?
Because that's what launched the missiles, so they... Oh, we've all been there.
Yeah.
That's almost me every single morning at work, that was.
Yep.
I remember those days.
I'm still like that now.
Yeah, I'm still
like that. I had an office and I could just go and sit in there and sleep.
I must admit, this whole now we all work from home thing is absolutely amazing. Because you can just log on, everyone assumes you're working, you can go and have a nap. Allegedly, probably.
I'm sure nobody from my work is listening to this, so it's probably fine. our computers are all set up by admins, including the kind of, you know, the screensaver. Yeah. So if your computer's inactive for 5 minutes, it goes into screensaver mode and then basically locks your computer. Which, of course, if you're on Teams, means you go from being present to away.
Yeah.
So the key to that one is if you're going to be away from the computer for any more than 5 minutes, you just log into Teams on your mobile.
Genius.
And it just looks like you're constantly there.
Can you not just do the Homer Simpson thing with the nodding thing and just get it to keep on tapping?
Yeah.
Do you know what that means more sense?
To vent the power station.
Just leave the mouse dangling over the edge of the desk and the cat will just tap it. Yeah, the cat will just keep tapping it.
I would just be worried if I did anything like that and started buying off stuff and actually started working that they would realise that was more efficient than I am now.
Yeah. Oh, hang on, he's actually done some proper work. Oh, this work, this is good. We liked your last report, John. What?
Well, eating some dinner.
Joking aside, though, I have to say this in case there is anybody from over listening. Disclaimer: we're just as busy now as we were a year ago, and we keep being told they were trying to move back into a kind of business as usual environment. But fucking when?
Yeah, I must admit we've found that, and we can't work out how we're all now a lot busier than we were when we were all working in the office.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I could work to midnight every day and still not get through everything. Yeah. That probably shows a complete inefficiency in my part.
I didn't like to mention that, but... I mean, obviously, I couldn't work till midnight and not get through all my stuff because then the papers wouldn't come out. But we're...
Yeah, no, that's true.
We're working longer hours than we ever have before, and we can't work out where the workload's increased.
That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Workers.
Morgan wants to know where your work has, can't.
I'm a male model.
What's that?
It means I stand around looking pretty in my underwear.
Kind of like what I do.
The listeners cannot see the look of disbelief / disgust on young Morgan's face at the very thought of that. So thank you for that ego boost.
I mean, you really work for your money. It must be very difficult for you to stand looking pretty and under it.
Mate, I fucking I earn my pay. Let me tell you that.
Well, you stay here.
Jesus.
Nope, that doesn't look good. To answer the question more seriously, I work on newspapers, Morgan. I produce newspapers.
Yeah.
I'm hoping everything's all right over that side of the room.
That's a bit of wind.
This is quite nice and spooky and scary, isn't it? As in quite eerie.
No, I genuinely enjoyed this episode.
I mean, this was the strongest series for a while, I think, wasn't it?
Sorry?
This was the strongest series for a while.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And not just of the two Capaldi ones.
I don't know. I always go between 9 and 10 as to which is my favourite, just because there are episodes in 9 I genuinely love.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is probably a stronger series than 9. Now we're going back through it.
It does seem to just land.
It has more rewatchable episodes.
Yeah, totally. It's what I'm finding. Because I'm going back and catching up on the ones we're not covering. And I'm loving them more second and third time. There's always something else to discover. Welcome back, Mr. Carruthers. Is all well in the domestic world?
I think so.
She was chasing a wasp.
She was chasing a wasp, but we heard a massive kind of smashing sound.
Oh.
So running about going, what's she smashed? What's she smashed? Is she okay? Absolutely fine. She still chased a wasp, and we've got a window open, and somebody smashed something outside.
Okay. It wasn't the wasp smashing things.
Kind of synchronicity. We went,
just to be clear, your cat has learned that buzzy, stripy things are not things to chase, right? She's caught.
Well, she doesn't know yet. She's going to find out real soon.
Do you have power?
She's smart.
Oh, that was done well.
Need a new UN Secretary General, everyone.
Again.
Again.
That's what happens when you invite the Tory party members to your party. Look, it's Priti Patel. Does and I know I kind of I'm very pro Capaldi, that's no secret to anyone. You know when the Doctor does his whole smartest boy in the room holding court thing? I think Capaldi does it the best of up to this point of Doctors of New Who. I think he does it. He's less frenetic than Tennant, less madcap than Smith. He seems to have Eccleston was close, but he seems to have some sort of a grand majesty. You know, there's an underlying anger, but there's kind of a thing on top that he's masking and he's just holding court. And he seems to do that thing best of all of them.
We're talking about Capaldi here.
Yeah, but which one is? Which one holds court best out of the four Doctors so far? When they do that smartest boy in the room thing.
It's probably Capaldi.
Thank you. See, that's 2-1. Or 2-0. I don't know. This looks a little bit like the set they used for previous Who episode when they were allegedly in New Mexico.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Obviously, he doesn't, but...
But they were...
They were in Bosnia? Sarajevo?
I can't think.
They were in a former Yugoslavia, weren't they? When we looked it up. If any of our listeners remember what we said back then, they could just post a message on the Facebook page.
Yeah, because we don't listen back.
Fuck no.
Just when you're talking about Capaldi again, it'll be kind of Capaldi. Does his thing. I was listening to a Big Finish audio. There we go, we got it. And
hey!
It was a Peter Davison Big Finish audio, right? And it's called The Kingmaker. And I'll just say as an aside, is a farce, right?
Okay.
It's a farce and it's a romp and it's an excellent four-parter and it's designed purely for comedy and it flies in the face of any kind of concept of time travel the Doctor Who normally does. It's just clearly they had fun writing and they had fun kind of making it.
Yeah.
But there's a bit where the Doctor is trying to discover something about a certain part of history, and it's always been a mystery. I won't get into too much detail, but it is genuinely worth a listen. And he listens back to a recording he made of it, and of course it's him in his fourth incarnation, and they get John Coleshaw in to do the fourth Doctor.
Ah, he does do a very good fourth Doctor.
So he's John. He also plays another role in it, but he does the fourth Doctor. quite well, not quite fourth doctor, but you know what I mean? You can tell that that's what he's trying to do. And weirdly enough, there was a real, it was at this point, because a lot of people likened Capaldi's performance in some respects to Tom Baker, and I never ever really saw it. But when I heard John Culshaw do an impression of Tom Baker and a Peter Davison audio, I just kind of went, I get what they mean.
Yeah.
There's the way that he kind of, there was a kind of method of delivery. And the fact, I think in you who were so used to the Doctor kind of going, yeah, I'm doing this, and kind of push it out. Even when I came back and I heard you mention Eccleston, and Eccleston kind of drew you in a wee bit, but there were still definite points at Eccleston where he kind of burst out at you, which I think, even though Capaldi kind of does that, when he wants to grab your attention, he reels you in.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, like Tennant and Smith definitely kind of pushed out.
Totally, totally.
Sort of thing. I suppose that's why people were bandying the word gravitas around quite a lot. But it wasn't until, I never quite got this kind of similarity between Capaldi and Baker until I was listening to this audio, and then I went, and it was only someone else doing an impression of Tom Baker that made it click, which is really weird.
I love the fact that Tom Baker didn't make it click, but the fact that someone impersonating Tom Baker, you're like, oh, now I get what you're talking about.
This is nasty.
Yes. This actually was quite dark, I thought, for the time. You know, for the...
but then 3 years later.
I mean, that's... But then...
late.
Briefly going back to Series 24. Dragonfire. The baddie Dragonfire, when he melts in the sun at the end. That went out at 7:30?
I know.
I mean, man, that's
that. At that point, they'd have gone out about 7:55.
Yeah, but still, well, you've got 12 and 13-year-olds suddenly watching someone's face melt off the bones.
Yeah, I know.
It was a hell of an effect.
There's obviously, and the season that has been released yet, there's The Greatest Show in the Galaxy, which I remember being absolutely, completely freaked out by the end of part 3 of The Greatest Show of the Galaxy, and it made me go, bloody hell. And it was the exact same thing as you're saying there. At that point, I think I was about 11 years old.
Yeah.
And I remember going, you know, being really taken aback by it, and actually, I think, genuinely quite scared.
Daddy, you were like 10.
Yeah.
Oh, you were 10, were you?
I was 11 when The Greatest Show in the Galaxy was, when Morgan just said, but you watched The Exorcist when you were 10.
Mind you, I was going to say good grief, but I read The Exorcist when I was about 10 or 11.
I read The Exorcist then. I didn't watch The Exorcist until I was about 12.
But
on a bootleg copy, but I was just telling you what Morgan said.
Yeah, that book, I didn't read another book for about 2 weeks afterwards. And I read voraciously as a kid. That really did have an impact. And when I came around to finally watching the film, it was a bit...
Is that a good horror book?
It's an amazing horror book.
Okay, read that. Yeah. Don't tell Mama, I'll get in trouble.
No, it is an absolutely amazing horror book.
Because I wonder if you watch it.
The film's terrible.
Really?
Yeah, it hasn't aged well. And there's too many parodies of it. But the book is just so gripping and so chilling. It's brilliant.
What's The Exorcist about?
It's about The Exorcist.
I'll let you read it. I'm happy. I'll let you read any book you want.
You could. I kind of like the episodes that Laura loves, because Laura goes very quiet and concentrates and actually watches them.
That's why I don't like them, because I feel like I'm missing some top Laura action.
It's just us two banging on about any old shit while Laura's actually watching the episode and understanding what's going on. Interesting choice of coat for Nardle.
You think?
Yeah.
For such a hot place, possibly.
Oh, that was one of the other comments. I don't know if you saw that one. Nardle is explicitly gay, according to an Doctor Who poster. I'm not too sure where you get explicitly from. He just seems to be Nardle.
Oh, it's only a biohazard. Come on.
Ah, we've all been there.
It's fine.
I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? Enzyme EC31. That's bad.
Oh, Douglas, what
it's happened? Bad. It wasn't supposed to be that much.
Wasn't meant to be
may
this
have,
way.
May have accidentally discovered something which destroys all flesh, all living beings.
Well, everything. That's absinthe, isn't it?
Yes, that's brain cells.
Oh, close.
Stop walking around in a circle. Why are you doing this circular motion? Why? Why is this a thing currently happening? This does not need to happen.
Oh, it's
you were already there.
It's an interesting directional technique thing, isn't it? It's just slightly annoying.
As you said, they've been watching The West Wing, you know, when they used to do the kind of corridor walking in The West Wing, and Morgan went, ha-ha, I don't know what that is, but it sounds really funny.
I still need to start watching that. I can't believe I now still haven't. I think it's one of those things that's been built up for so, it's now so big, that everyone said it was the best thing ever.
And then just went, I'm not watching this.
Well, that's my standard response to those sorts of things. But now, if it turns out to be not as good as everyone said, I'll feel cheated.
It's very, very rare that the subtitles on the BBC actually do have warp.
Absolutely. Classic.
But it's usually TARDIS hums or something like that. That was a proper warp there.
Which is old school TARDIS landing.
Yeah.
Mm.
I remember Terence Dix used to say, suddenly there was a wheezing, groaning sound.
Yes. I remember watching, which one was it? It was the Pertwee one where they go to Dungeness. The first time that Pertwee gets the TARDIS up and running with Joe Grant in it. And the director was talking on the making of about he forgot it was meant to phase in and out. So it's one of the few stories where the TARDIS just suddenly appears.
Ping. It's like a kind of classic Lost in Space.
Yeah, he just completely forgot about the phasing and so suddenly cut. I mean, TARDIS? No TARDIS. TARDIS? No TARDIS. Oh, man, that seems bad.
Wow, the Doctor put it less succinctly than I did. That's literally what I just said, but gunk.
Gunk, yep.
Where did Laura go?
Laura's still there.
What are you getting up to?
What are you getting up to? So suspicious, Morgan.
Morgan doesn't trust anyone.
No, even that movement. I thought she disappeared.
She didn't disappear.
Who was it lying on the floor?
The hungover guy. And to be honest, I've had hangovers when I look like that.
Yeah, that was not Laura disappearing into a pool of gunk on the floor. Laura is definitely still...
That's good timing.
You got to laugh how everyone is using their mobile phone to record what time it is, because apparently watches no longer exist.
Yep. No, there was a watch.
Oh, yeah, are you recording right now?
Yes. Morgan needs to ask every episode
now. No, but I'm glad she asked at nearly an hour in. I mean, you know, if the answer was no...
Morgan just wants to know so she can tell all her kind of school friends about this podcast so that they can all listen in and hear her becoming famous. Do all your peers know that you do this podcast?
No.
No, I'm very surprised to hear that.
To be honest,
I can't believe that this isn't cool enough for you.
To be honest, I'm not sure anybody who knows me knows I do a podcast.
Well, I keep having to remind people.
I probably should remind people. I forget.
I say to people, "Do you know I do a Doctor Who podcast?" But well, I neither like Doctor Who nor you.
To be fair, both of those things are a good reason to listen to this podcast. This is not done for the love of Doctor Who.
I'm trying to remember the exact thing that stops that from happening, other than, you know, the next episode. It's like that's a very definite Doctor asking, "Do you want to be a companion?" Right there.
Yes.
I want to be a companion.
I think generally, if the answer ends up being, "Oh, you're not coming," then there's something bad has happened. Although, if she had a boyfriend, so if she was to go and join in and hop into the TARDIS and leave the boyfriend behind, the Doctor Who faithful would be really angry and go, "Grrr," because you're not allowed to do that.
The doctor does that a lot. He becomes more interested in companions when they start being in long-term relationships.
Yeah.
He's just basically time traveling. So kind of going, when he found out that Rose, somebody's like, oh, come with me.
Yep.
He kept kind of leaving Clara. He kept leaving Clara back there, and then she started seeing Danny. He's going, come on, an adventures.
Yeah, I mainly think he just did that to annoy Danny.
Yeah.
The thing I want to know at this point is, which poor soul's got to hoover up all that dust?
I mean, is it not just dust in the Thanos sense? Just kind of dissipates?
Well, no, clearly that much dust, no, because it all just crumbles to the floor, so there's now small piles of the stuff. The little handheld...
There's one little monk that just comes around the corner saying, oh, for fuck's sake, not again.
Yep.
Why would you use a lawnmower? That wasn't a lawnmower noise, that was a vacuum noise.
To be fair, they kind of both do the same job. I mean,
Laura's done an entire French show of different kind of machine noises, and if you can't differentiate between the two of them, the whole thing's filled from the start.
I mean, I hoover my lawn regularly.
Well, Laura's rethinking her entire approach to 2022 in my French. Thanks to you, Morgan. Nice to hear your Machiavellian machinations.
Sorry about that.
Yep, that's that. Laura's gone now.
Yep, can't take any more.
Have you ever seen a comedian lose complete confidence in their material?
Me, regularly.
Sorry, I didn't mean to offend you.
I've got another live gig in September.
Fuck off.
Ooh.
You've retired.
I know, I've got a lot, but nobody's giving me gigs in Glasgow. I keep having to travel. I'm going to Aberdeen now.
How long does it
take you to lie down?
How long does it take you to get to the heroin capital of Scotland?
Step outside my house.
How long does it take to get to Aberdeen?
No, Aberdeen. Aberdeen's probably 3 hours.
You're going to drive 3 hours for a gig?
I'm considering staying over.
That would make marginally more sense.
I'm driving up with a stripper, so I'm considering
stay over. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting how you take different views to these things, because like 2-3 years ago, 3 hours to a gig, yeah, of course, away. What else are you going to do? After a year and a half of lockdown, 3 hours in a car driving somewhere, are you mad?
I'm kind of the opposite way around. Before that, I've seen there's enough gigs happening in Glasgow. Why would I ever drive up there? And now I'm just kind of going, oh, no, wait a minute.
You might as well.
Yeah. No, I will drive back down. But I'm looking forward to it. It doesn't matter if I get home at 2 a.m. It's September.
It always matters if you get home at 2 a.m, because then you're going
to
be...
just have to say for the record that unlikely event that she listens to this podcast that Mandy is a very heavily pregnant, very happily kind of seeing somebody else, ex-stripper, rather than me just saying... just in case.
I guarantee you she does not listen to this.
Morgan was getting a lot of concern.
Who would have thought that this would all come around from...
From?
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 Is Laura gone, or is she just concentrating?
She's concentrating. There was a half-finished sentence, but she got sucked into the episode again.
I did, I'm sorry.
That's Laura's concentrating.
Look, you can have an opinion or you can watch the episode. You can't do both.
You can't.
No, multitasking is not your thing. Oh, he's got to try and unlock the door to get her out, hasn't he? Why doesn't he just ping in there with the TARDIS?
He's dead.
Yeah. Couldn't show Nardole as goo, though, could they?
No. That's very true. Oh,
if that was David Tennant, he'd have found some way to save the woman to sacrifice himself. But Capaldi's got no fucking mother.
He'd have just stuck Bernard Cribbins in there and gone, "Are you?"
He'd have beat up Bernard Cribbins and thrown him back in the cabinet.
Yeah, you bastard! Kick him in. Shut the door. Did we at some point discuss whether or not they explain how Nardole ends up being with the Doctor?
No, I found out
there's a line in the Under the Ice episode where Nardole just says it was hardly worth getting reassembled for this, which I thought was subtly done. It just kind of answered the question we briefly floated.
That's pretty much how they did it, because it was the Husbands Are Ever song, and then they had him in Dr. Mysterio. I mean, I think they just kind of went, go away.
Yeah,
this is a really long one, that album, in 40, by the way.
It is, isn't it? I mean, I still don't know why he was in Dr. Mysterio. Mind you, I don't know why anyone was or why it existed. It has to be said.
Laura likes Dr. Mysterio, don't you?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. It's silly, but it was fine for a Christmas episode and our first Doctor in a year.
That's true. And also, it didn't have Nick Frost as Santa Claus.
She looks very scared.
Yeah, that's reasonable. I'd be slightly petrified. I think that's the right word to use. The people who say about Bill that she doesn't have... Here we go again. Is Bill going to make it to the end of the episode drama? The people who are saying on the fan forums that Bill doesn't have character, doesn't have personality, I'm not sure what they're watching.
Yeah, no, it's just...
Because she's got so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if there's something...
We're about 3 minutes since it was 1:40 now.
Yep.
But Bill kind of did the right thing by just being in one season. Not that I'm necessarily saying that it was down to Bill, but kind of, for me, wanted more. Whereas you sometimes find it's kind of going, oh, it'd have been really good if they'd left a year ago.
Well, we had that conversation once or twice, didn't we?
There were still 5 seconds left.
Yep. Now, is that a proper real explosion or was that a CGI explosion?
That was, I could do that, and I'm terrible at computers.
Well, to be fair, your math isn't that great either.
Jeremy, one sacrifice.
Pierre Capaldi.
Whoa, oh, that was dramatic.
I can ruin this one. I keep saying that every time.
Yep. That was... quite the ending. That was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It is a great, great, great episode.
They do that a lot with kind of two parts. In general, in sci-fi, I remember I used to, every time I watched Star Trek The Next Generation, it was a two-part. You go, that was actually amazing. Let's see how they screw it up next week.
Yep.
Or next season.
Oh, yeah. Frequently, we'd have an amazing series-ending cliffhanger and then fuck it up in the first episode of the new season. But that, so far, as probable, I suppose you could call it a trilogy's go, I'm sticking to that. I'm clinging to that. That's building...
Very different episodes.
It really is.
Very good episode so far.
But it's building really well, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
And I don't care. Bill is still my favourite companion, and I still think she's absolutely wonderful, and we should have had more of her. But then I wanted another season of Capaldi as well. He should have stuck around for an extra year.
That's true.
I agree.
Do we have any trivia off the back of that before we say our tutty byes for now?
Do we have any trivia? Nothing interesting.
Well, that's not what I asked.
Nothing interesting. There's like 6 bits of trivia on IMDb for that episode. And it's just like, this is what the Doomsday Clock actually is. Like, what the Doomsday Clock is, thank you very much.
Yeah,
It's weird that the worse an episode is, the more... trivia it tends to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely true, isn't it?
Just a little pattern I've noticed with it.
It's almost as if when people enjoy the episode, they don't go squirreling around looking for crap to talk about.
Kind of like the better the episode is with us, the less we've got to talk about, we can end up going off on tangents.
That's very true. When it's an absolutely brilliant episode, we don't talk about it. We talk about absolutely everything else.
Just kind of like, there's actually been strange points where I've just remembered an episode and went, oh, we did a podcast with that. I don't fucking remember watching it.
Do you know what? Uploading the next couple of episodes, and we were so busy just talking about stuff, I couldn't actually remember what happened in the episode.
Yeah.
I was actually having to flick through, just listen to little bits going, which episode was this again? So anyway, right, so there we go. That is the end of part 2 of the 3 of the Pyramid-y Monkey Trilogy, the Pyramids at the End of the Waters of Mars of Time.
Don't call it the Monkey Trilogy?
That's what it's now called. At the end of it, he blows on his...
not the Monkey Trilogy.
The end of it, Peter Capaldi blows on his fingers and disappears on a cloud.
Trevor Tucker was a monk.
Yeah, there, see, all ties in. Yeah. Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey, it's all part of the same thing.
Here we come.
Brilliant stuff. Right, so we shall be back in the fullness of time to watch the final part of this alleged trilogy. In the meantime, over on that side of the room with an now decimated microwave oven, it's Laura. And over on the other side of the room, Mary Poppins having long since departed, it's John.
Bye.
And that's been me, that's been you, that's been them, that's been us, and that's been it. Thank you very much. Goodbye.